Blog Talk Radio.
Excellent. How was yours going to the doctor this week? I know you ain't going to say nothing, so I'm going to keep on pushing.
How do you know I went to the doctor?
Because I heard you on the J. King Network in Kings in the Morning. You was missing. I was late getting in that day, but Jay filled me in on it. You went to the doctor, didn't you?
See, he didn't know what I was doing. Everybody,
oh, okay.
Only Sharon knows what I'm doing. You know, everybody don't know what I'm doing or what I'm doing. If I take off, then every time I take time off, I'm going to the doctor, then I'm screwed. Okay.
Okay, well, we glad you okay, Mr. Tolliver.
Okay, I didn't say that. T.T., how was your week?
See what I'm saying?
My week, well, I'm going to say it like this. I just started vacation. Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, baby. So I don't even want to talk about the week. I'm talking about vacation now. It's beautiful.
Okay. All right, Mark.
Clarification.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good week, yeah. Well, good week. And yesterday went to my 40th high school reunion. We had a little mixer down at the Kennedy 73.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Had a little thing down at the Take Five Rhythm and Jazz Club downtown.
Yeah.
Forecast played. One of my partners that I wasn't expecting to see from California, guitar player, it's an incredible brother named Joe Bird, sat in with Forecast. So it was a good evening. It's a little expensive down there, but it's a nice place.
Where was it?
The Take Five Rhythm and Jazz Club.
It's a nice joint.
It's real nice. And yeah. Service is good. The food was good. Just their drinks was $10.
Yep.
I thought that's like the norm around town.
You know what? You know, it probably is. I don't get around much anymore.
Okay, Braylon Ellis, the chair. How's everybody going? It's been a great week. Great week. I can't complain at all. You know
just... Hi, Ray.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Braylon.
Okay. Like I said,
hi, Ray.
Good. I'm just waiting on the verdict like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I hear crickets.
Yeah.
Cricket, 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 cricket. Choo, 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 choo.
We almost got stuck back there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds like the mating one.
Well, the jury just asked for the instructions on manslaughter.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Donya.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
It just came in just now. The jury just asked for instructions for manslaughter. So.
This would be a good time for me to do my Lynn Tolliver impression.
Okay, AA. How was your week?
My week was fine.
Since you all in love,
I got turkey jam tickets.
Uh-oh, you in love again? Back in love again.
Caller number 93.
So they're coming back in, y'all. So, oh, that's earlier.
You're
going to
play Celebration 93 times.
Oh, yeah, I went back to go back.
Anna, where were you at 2 seconds ago? How was your week?
my week was good. I had a couple networking ventures, and I heard you hung out with JW. You guys had a couple laughs, some shits and giggles.
What's that?
You know, and then James Wade.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah, James Wade from the Calling Post, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had a birthday this weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, I ran into him at the Buckeye Festival yesterday. And, you know, sat there and talked to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Ribbons and a couple other people that were up there, Elvin Frazier and Hub. It was nice turnout.
Okay, after we play a couple of songs, Mark Dixon is going to lead us. Mark Dixon is going to lead us with the Koch Brothers.
You forgot someone, didn't you?
Who's that?
Did you say their name is the Koch Brothers?
Section
I forget.
Coke. Is that Aaron?
Aaron, AA.
So who did I forget?
Yeah, Aaron.
I'm on. I'm in. Hey, everybody.
I'm here.
Hi, Lynn.
Go ahead.
Aaron, me. Hello.
I thought you said you were going to do your Lynn Tolliver impression and whatever the deal
was. I'm going to hear my horrible impression of you.
I'm going to play my impression. I'm going to play Celebration 93 times.
He went back to them Turkey Jam tickets.
What city are you in?
I'm in Atlanta. Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, what part? Call you later.
I don't know. I'm sitting at a Walmart right now. Hey, I haven't had a kooky story for you for a while. So, you know, last week I was in Chicago and I was visiting with a friend. And
yeah.
everything went great. We hooked up that Friday. We, did the do. And Saturday we hooked up and, had relations.
Uh-huh.
That's not a friend. That's an associate.
Sunday, she was like real distant from me. And by the end of the day, she was like, she had to pick up her son and take him home from work because she stays with her mother. So she's had me get all my things together, and she had me, took me to the truck and everything. So I hung out there. And I still had some laundry over her house. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. So she finally brings all my stuff to me except for this fan that I had just bought. It was like a $45 fan. So she was like, oh, I forgot that. I got to go back and get it, And I'm thinking, why aren't you bringing all my stuff to the truck? She was supposed to pick me up and take me back to her place. So I waited and waited and waited, and she didn't bring me the fan. So then I end up going to her place, and I, knock on the door. Nobody answers. I go around to the front, and her bedroom window's open. So I throw a couple of nickels up to it to, get her attention. So she never comes to the door. So as I walk away, the police ride up. And the police tell me, they're like, oh, she says that, as our understanding, she doesn't want to see you again.
Oh,
you
gotta
be playing.
Sorry.
What?
We're sorry.
I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry, AA.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's
Did
cool.
that really happen?
Yeah, that really happened.
Jesus.
So then they said, so after they checked me out, they're like, well, actually she pre-called us. She actually called us about an hour ago and warned us that she might show up. And I was just like, oh, really? So I was just like, wow, I was a little hurt at the time. But it's cool.
Ooh, okay.
It's cool. I'll be in Detroit next weekend, so let's just put it like that.
Okay. You think, okay, move right along to Detroit.
Right.
Ashton Tech,
how was your week?
I'm busy, 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 busy. And other than that, it's just great.
Okay. All right. Like I said, when we come back, after a couple of songs, we're going to play a couple of songs. And then how do I pronounce K-O-C-H, Mark?
Coke, just like the soft drink.
Oh, Coke, okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
The Coke Brothers,
okay. Yeah, I'm thinking about Mayor Koch. Okay, 347-205-9366 is our number. Coming up after this show, welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. Let's get ready to have a good time.
Yeah. Hey, here we go, y'all.
Hey. Midwest all day. Can I hit it in the morning, in
okay.
the middle of the day, in the midnight hour, have it your way, give me the blueprint, show me direction, just be my tour guide to your affection, don't want to hold you up, or waste your time, just put something on ya, and leave it on your mind. So here's the question, I don't feel like guessing. How do I shorten the time to get your sexy ass undressed? Yeah, I gotta know. don't get fed. I mean, we all adults. We grown and sex, sex. Just gotta find a way for you to come over and sex me. You look like a winner, a perfect catch. Just hope that your brain and body is a match, yeah. So here's the question, I don't feel like guessing. How do I show them the time to get your sexy ass undressed?
How to get you naked. I'm a pro up in the streets, baby, I'm good with the sexy. You never be neglected. Now we put my hands in places that you never knew exist. While we in same spaces, I'm quitting from the molly, feeling real exotic. While I'm looking on your body, on a beam like Scotty. The headboard knocking, the whole room rocking. Bragging to your partners how I'm knocking off your stockings. Now your partner wanna see, he want that dick. He heard that it's about 10 inches, but all I want is you. I don't rock like that. What I gotta do to get you in my bed? So here's the question, no guessing. What I gotta do to get that booty naked?
And the beat goes on.
It'll come to a crazy. Sometimes, you know. You know how Blog Talk is.
I'll take this.
Thank you.
Oliver, I got to know. It's Cool Critics, 347-205-9366. That's our phone number. Don't forget, upcoming in less than a couple of hours, it's Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show. So, Mark, take it away. I saw the post on Facebook, the Koch brothers, you know, when you purchase something from whatever the company is that represents, it goes to the Tea Party. So explain that.
Yeah, let me just, you know, I mentioned it before a long time ago, and it usually only comes up in, during the election cycles when, you know, they're a little bit more visible. But the Koch brothers are two of the richest men. I think they're number 6 and 7 in the United States. They own the second largest privately held company, which means that they don't answer to anyone except themselves and their own conscience, you know, board of directors, no shareholders, yada, yada, yada. One of their main holdings is Georgia Pacific, which is, you know, of course, started, you know, in Georgia, and they're a logging company for the most part, although they've diversified over the years. So they make paper products. And the chief paper products that they make are the paper or products that everyone's buying. And those products are Angel Soft, toilet tissue, Quilted Northern, Soft and Gentle Toilet Paper, Brawny Paper Towels, Dixie Cups and Plates and Bowls and Napkins, Sparkle, Vanity and Vanity Fair Napkins and Z Napkins, which I've never heard of. But the important thing that, you know, I've been trying to get across to everyone is, you know, people who don't, they're a very political family, I should say. They are directly responsible for the majority of funding for Americans for Prosperity, for the Tea Party. And these are groups that have this country in a gridlock right now, which is, you know, why they talk about Congress being so dysfunctional. So, you know, my thing is always you got to hit them where it hurts, and where it should hurt is in their pockets. Now, it's not going to hurt a whole lot, you know, by pulling back some of the industries because, you know, eventually they'll just sell them off. But at least it sends a message that we're aware of what they're doing. You know, I mean, they are, you know, the chief people who oppose Obama on every turn. And, you know, the country is just kind of paralyzed because two individuals are running this whole thing. So I think the post that I was that you responded to, Lynn, is, you know, I had it on my Facebook page, is that it just, it makes my skin crawl every time I see, you know, people of color, people who don't have means, and they have all of their products in their shopping cart because it's usually the loss leader at the grocery store. You know, you go into a local Dave supermarket here, and you'll see huge, right, in, like as soon as you walk in the door most of the times, there's some place they'll have just like a massive display, you know, to get you to buy those products. So it's really kind of a slap in the face to people who are working against us the most are exploiting us. So
let me ask you two questions. Two questions I want to ask you, and then other people can join in. The first question is, if you buy more than, you know, 3 or 4 Brawny paper towels or whatever, and I don't even know what Brawny is the cheapest, but if you buy more, you know, 3 or 4 the cheapest, and you're saving 50 cents per, as, you know, I saw in your whatchamacallit, let's
right.
say your savings is $8. Well, if you don't have any money, $8 is a lot. If you do have money, $8 is a lot. You know, how do you, you know, prevent a person that doesn't have anything, how do you expect them to be prospective enough to sacrifice that $8 because, you know, it's going to affect them down the road, maybe or maybe not? And this question, is there a company like the Koch brothers that support the Democratic side?
First of all, their products are not that competitive. I mean, you know, I said 50 cents. That was just kind of like a metaphor. It was just, you know, to put it out there if you think you're sane. It's not like they have real inexpensive products. You know, generally the store brand is going to be less expensive and same quality as, you know, the Georgia Pacific products. And especially if you go ahead and shop in places like Target and Walmart, who have their own brands, that's their products are less expensive. You know, so it's some savvy shopping, but you know, people just don't. If they knew that they were supporting, you know, that type of company, then you know they would be an informed consumer, and they could choose otherwise. And as far as
I was going to tell you, Mark, that Georgia Pacific makes most of store brands too. I was spent 13 years in the grocery business, so they do it. And also a lot of the paper plates, a lot of the stuff that's commercial too. So, you know, that was letting you know that. So just remember, it's called private label. Most manufacturers do both their brand, but they also do private label for the grocery stores.
I understand.
The stuff that you get is made by the company. So you feel like this Kroger or Piggly Wiggly or Albertsons, they don't make anything.
And, of course, that's something we don't have control over, but we do have control over supporting Georgia Pacific directly. And even if they are, if they're the OEM manufacturers for some other brands, then their profits are still going to be cut down because they're not the actual brand that are taking it to market.
Okay, but most of the commercial stuff done free industries and stuff. You know, that, I mean, it's tons of stuff. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's like it just let people know that you're not necessarily not supporting them just because you're buying a store brand. Because most, they actually do the majority of the store brand stuff. I've seen the boxes. So.
I know you have. All I'm saying is that we can only do what we can do, and we have to be informed and where we can be informed. And if you see it on the back of the label, then that's when you should avoid it. And the second part of your question, you know, Lynn, I don't think there's necessarily any companies. I mean, I knew there were a couple of cell phone companies that were very pro democratic causes, and you know, and they actually attacked the cell phone companies like AT&T and Verizon, who are also both big time supporters of conservative causes, especially during the last electoral cycle. And, you know, I was getting emails in my box every day about, you know, AT&T is doing this to you. They're supporting the Tea Party, which they did, and Verizon supporting, they actually broke down how much they gave to Republican causes versus Democratic causes. And it was overwhelmingly Republican. So I don't think there's a correlation or there's a correlating company. You know, on something as simple as paper goods out of a grocery store in this case, but they're at least not working against, which the Koch brothers are, and you know,
well,
that's my whole point.
I appreciate the information
mm-hmm.
that was. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the information that was just given, but I'm just not one to read labels for that cause of whether or not I support some person's idea on any given subject. When I'm shopping, I'm shopping. And the thing about it is that doesn't make me guilty of supporting that particular entity because you can't take out my motivation and judge it properly. Same thing with the Verizon, with the cell, all of that shit. I'm not into that. I'm into Lynn. And so when I'm going shopping, I'm shopping for what I need. I don't study, and that's just me, you know. I'm sorry.
Just like the clothes with the
Illuminati and all this shit. And then one of my messages when I was preaching one time, I put up my finger like some horns. And on YouTube, somebody called it out and said, look at her, she threw up the devil sign in 1:53 minutes or some shit like that. I said, no, sweetheart, you can't take, just because that's there, it doesn't mean that I support that or that's what that sign meant.
Well, yeah, and you know, and that's, I guess, you know, that's part of the problem I have is, and I'm trying to get people to be conscious of what they're doing that affects themselves, not just Lynn, not just Mark, but affects us as a community, because if the community can get some come up, then we're all good, Lynn and Mark are even better. You know,
well,
I mean, if you had that attitude.
What somebody would have to do then is find the brand that is not theirs, not their subsidiary. You know, because I remember Richmond Brothers did other suits that had other names on them, high-class names. I saw some battery companies that made batteries for other companies that had different names on them. So what somebody has to do is, you know, give them an equation factor to say,
You know, like Kyle Ray is explaining, it's absolutely true. There are companies out there called OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and they're pretty, you don't know where it comes from. You know, the only duty they have is to say whether it was made in America or not. So to follow that paper trail down the line is super difficult. But what is really easy is to get certain products in your mind that you know are harmful. I mean, it's the list is, what, 5 or 6 long? Or even turn the back of the package over for just a minute and do something that can actually help us politically. I mean, you know, if we had the attitude we were only going to do it for ourselves, then we would have never had any civil rights whatsoever. I mean, the civil rights was a collective movement. It wasn't just an individual movement.
Yeah, well, what
you know what?
Go ahead, man. You remember, Daryl, I hear you. I see you. You know, just chirp in when you feel like it, you know.
Oh, okay. I can just jump in? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that.
Let me know when I can
because I don't want to interrupt anybody, but I got something to say.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say something and Daryl can follow. You know, just like, let's say a person is on a TV show, and let's say it's what's the guy at 2 and a Half Men?
Charlie Sheen.
Okay, so then they got all of these websites that are anti-Charlie Sheen, you know. And for people that are anti-Charlie Sheen or anti-U-Haul, I saw a lot of anti-U-Haul sites. You know, why doesn't somebody take the time to look on the back of the product themselves and start putting a website together where they could do something like that?
Right.
And you can have a conference. Go ahead,
PC and Daryl. It's even like with the how they get on the boycott against a wrestling bar when he called Sandra Brooks the slut and all that. And how many companies pulled back from him just because of that campaign of him, the negative stuff that he was pursuing out. I think we could do the same thing here. You know, once you put out the facts of what the Koch brothers are doing, I'm quite sure it's pretty much new, you know, especially throughout the campaign and stuff, of all the stuff, all the money they put in and all the negative ads and stuff that they put into the campaigns. It's really not, it really shouldn't be hard to put the information out there for the average consumer can see of what these companies are doing against your tax dollars, against trying to get government to do what it needs to do for the people. So I don't see why it should be a real big problem there. If you really put the facts out there well enough, it shouldn't be no problem.
Well, and there's even an app for it. You can get an app for your phone, and you can scan the barcode, and you can tell whether it's a Koch Brothers product or not.
Right.
Well, also, I was going to say this. I mean, that's cool and all, but most people concerned about the new damn LeBron James gym shoes, man. I mean, it's like, it's good information to say, hey, if you're not for the Koch brothers, put that stuff out there, just like people have been trying to put Made in America signs out there. But at the end of the day, if Bronny paper towels is a dollar, people are going to shoot for it because they shopping impulse. You know, people have been trying to push, pay more for American-made products and all these same type of things for years. It just don't work. I mean, it's just, I mean, it can work to a degree, but it's just like, for the most part, most people going to spend with their pockets. Like Lynn say, if Lynn in the store, she's not thinking black at that moment. She's thinking on what she's trying to buy for herself. And I'm just saying,
okay.
It's like,
yeah, let's talk a little context here. Can we talk a little context?
Go ahead.
Okay, here's the deal. All right? Now, we are all in our 40s, 50s, 60s, all right? The people who are raising families and buying the paper towels and angel paper towels and toilet paper, those things that if you got a choice you don't use because they ain't that gentle, quite frankly. You know, those people are raising families, all right? They're raising families, and they're doing probably the best they possibly can. And they got little kids, and they got middle school kids, and they got high school kids, and they're kind of up against it. Now, you're asking them to go ahead and make some decisions by the store brand, which, as somebody said earlier, is made by the very same people that they marketed, okay? So you get a little bit of a bump there, but not much. And Z, by the way, is one of the brands that they carry in Walmart in many states across the country. So that's where Z is, and yes, it is a Koch Brothers product. Now, I say all of that because you got to understand, electric buying campaigns have always had a beneficial effect, okay? But they generally had a beneficial effect at the local level. Mr. Smith, who runs the dollar store, okay, knows when people ain't coming in because he happened to show up at some church that had some little right-wing message on the board, and people around town get it. When you start talking about international corporations, they give to absolutely everybody. Believe me, the Koch brothers, as much money as they give to conservative causes, they don't give nowhere near as much to liberal causes, but they're there. The Kathy guy from the chicken place Chick-fil-A, okay? Yeah, he don't like gay people, but, you know, believe me, he's kind of pissed because he understands that his brand is associated with a much broader market. We cannot deal with 1960s solutions to 2020 problems, okay? And, yes, we have some very, very serious problems out here, okay? But we are dealing in a world marketplace. And, quite frankly, you know, I mean, you got Asians, you know, out there who really don't know you and think that you're still on the periphery of America, okay? So they really ain't interested in dealing with you. And they figure they can go ahead and deal with the base that they know, all right? And they're still going to do business, all right? And this is where the products are coming from. Now, if you're not willing to go ahead and not shop at Target, not shop at Walmart, not shop at Macy's, not shop at Jockey's, your Federated stores, okay? Just go down the list, you know, and you just want to deal with whoever throws the shirt in town, you know, then that's what you do. The alternative, quite frankly, is pressure directly on the people who can set policies, that can make decisions, all right? And that's at the state level, that's at the local level, that's at the federal level. The only place where the public has any real power now is not really in the marketplace, but in the ballot box and in the state house and in the Capitol. And the only way you're going to make those kinds of changes is to go ahead and grow your own politicians who agree with you. Take some time, take some effort, and take more than just paying attention every 3.5 years because you got an election every 4 years, okay? And that's where we are, okay? So now we got this congressional election coming up. We got a bunch of people who do not agree with the president who have chosen to deal with a prevent defense. They are dealing with a prevent defense that is raising interest charges on kids and therefore on us because we all sign for our kids and our grandkids' college education, quite frankly, those loans. They're raising all of those interest rates on us by failing to do anything, okay? And we're not being politically active at the time when we need to because we're not finding people anybody at all who can run against some of these people just to go ahead and play field a little bit because it's a little incremental gains in that 434-member House of Representatives that is going to solve our federal problems, our national problems, and don't even think about state-level problems because those ain't going to be solved because, quite frankly, you know, the people who are in the urban areas are always outnumbered by the people in the rural areas, and the constitutions of those states are written in such a way that they'll never get power back unless people find some common ground that says, you know, we got to go ahead and deal with it. look at the Texas situation right now, and I'm almost done, Lynn, because I know I got a time limit here. So if the red light comes on, just help me out.
You're good. You're good.
But here's
you're
the
good.
Deal.
Good,
here's
Darryl,
the deal, okay? Look at the Texas situation, okay? Because in Texas, the people there are learning really, really quickly, okay, that because of this whole darn thing with Rick Perry and this conservative legislature, mostly Republican, incessantly Republicanly controlled in recent years, and those people used to be yellow dog Democrats, by the way, they have learned on this issue about abortions and tampons and things like that, that, hey, maybe we do need to have two political parties. Maybe we do not need to just agree with the people who are in our beds next to us. Maybe we do need to do something because these people are cracking down on us and making us no different than N-words, okay? And so women in Texas have learned this week and last month when they had that thing that they called a mob that was not a mob, that was democracy in action. They've learned that, you know, maybe they do need to have alliances, and maybe it's not those people over there who are upset because they don't have their rights. Now it's us, okay? And so as women in Texas and other places, Louisiana's next, by the way, learn that they need those kinds of alliances, then maybe two-party systems, you know, adapt, and maybe all of a sudden, instead of just having these little urban conferences, okay, and urban, caucuses, you'll wind up with urban suburban caucuses because soccer moms like to be able to have some choices instead of going ahead and because they work every day just like the rest of us, just like their husbands do, quite frankly. They want to make sure that they have some choices instead of, you know, somebody who's dealing from a different deck and a different book and some past ideal, okay, dictating how they live their lives and when they bear their children and whether or not they go ahead and have to take work off for a pregnancy that they just didn't plan, all right? And those are the kinds of issues that will go ahead and turn this tide. It's really not about not buying from your five supermarket chains one particular product to try and avoid the Georgia-Pacific brand, because you ain't going to be able to do it. Because when you stop buying the Georgia-Pacific brand, you're starting to buy some brand in China amalgamated that really doesn't care about you at all, because all they see when they look at the United States market is white folks. And that's all I'm going to say. Now I'll shut up.
Okay, that was a mouthful.
Well, that's what I was saying about the. That's what I was saying about the dollar here, dollar there, and I'm not trying to play down the subject matter, but that's just my take. I feel like my dollar, whatever, it wouldn't make a difference, and I don't consider that being lazy or anything. I just don't have time for that. I'm sorry.
And 2 years, you're going to go where the dollar, where you're going to get the best bargain at, regardless. I do agree with that, because I'm a bargain shopper myself. And if I can go somewhere, I will be a little bit more. I have been conscientious on certain brands, too, when there are certain negative connotations behind it. Like, once more, I refuse to go buy gas at BP. Ever since that spill, I do not touch BP with a long and a pole. You know, so there's certain things that I will spend a dollar on to save a dollar. However, I also will use my principles behind what I'm spending certain things, regardless if I'm saving money or not.
Cece, have you ever bought gas at 7-Eleven?
No, I don't.
Gas 7-Eleven, they distributed BP. There's only so many oil refineries in the country, and they own pretty much a good portion of them, and they do just like with Georgia Pacific. They distribute petroleum to other companies that 7-Eleven doesn't make gas.
But we can't just lay down and just pretend, you know, like, I think it was Linda was saying that, you know, her dollar doesn't count. Well, that's like saying your vote doesn't count. I mean, yeah, the dollars add up, you know, and we got to hit them somewhere.
There's nothing wrong with, if that's how you feel, of course. Don't support businesses that you feel as though are against you. But the funny thing about it is that they got the game sewn so tight that no matter what, you didn't back ass with BP, but you got it from 7-Eleven and this other place, that's still BP.
Yeah, but you know what? I think what you're kind of missing is the simplicity of this. If this is a very simple thing, I'm not trying to, you know, when I suggest not buying Georgia Pacific products, I'm not trying to change abortion rights in Texas and Ohio. I'm just trying to vote with my dollar. I mean, that's a pretty basic concept. And my only thing that I was saying in my post, and it's really kind of taken a life of its own here, my only thing I was saying is if people had the information, if they knew, and I've done this. I've done this. I've actually talked during the election cycle, if I saw someone with it in their basket and they were behind me in line, and I said, do you know who makes that product? And when I explained it to them, they took it out of their cart. And they, you know, because I'm not talking about saving money. And, you know, again, that's kind of a misnomer. That's not exactly what I was trying to get to on my Facebook post at saving the 50 cents. This is not about dollars. You're not saving money. These are premium products. So it's not about necessarily shopping for the cheapest product. It's just one little bitty thing that you can do that you can vote with your conscience by rejecting these products. I mean, we saw it two weeks ago with Paula Deen. We've basically given her a spanking because we didn't like what she did, what she stood for. She opened up some wounds, and we're voting against her with our dollar. We may say, oh, she's not going to matter in my life, you know, because she can't cook or whatever, but we're not supporting her. And I just, you know, for me personally, I'm just conscious like that.
And you bring up a good point, Mark. When it's something that people love to bash, you know, then they have a problem pulling their money from it, you know. But an idea like this, you know, it's kind of tough. But it's not popular, it's just unknown, and it just sounds like a lot, and these are products that people like to use. You know, people just need to be more conscious and aware that, you know, I'm probably guilty. I'm not necessarily looking at what I buy, you know, when I buy paper products. Unfortunately, sometimes I have to haul Georgia Pacific products. You know, I don't like it, but, you know, it's my job.
At this point, I don't see anybody who deserted Paula Deen, okay, admitting that they did so because of any decline in sales. It's not like a Rush Limbaugh thing, okay, where there's some measurable interest in the effects of his cumulative racism, okay? With Paula Deen, these companies decided to do what they needed to do to protect their brand, which is a wee bit different. That does not translate into sales loss. That translates into, you know, going forward, what might we lose?
If you
are
think
you
it
suggesting
have...
that their brand doesn't represent sales?
No, exactly. If you think it has nothing to do with money, you're kidding yourself.
In the future.
Say it again.
Let me say this. In the Paula Deen case, it was companies withdrawing from Paula Deen. It was not
right.
The consumers not buying, you know, her
right.
chips or her books
but
or whatever.
But they were withdrawing in anticipation that sales are going down. They don't
exactly.
want to
no, they were withdrawing in anticipation of not wanting to have that as an issue that might cloud their marketing in the future.
Exactly.
You're
saying
right.
the same thing.
You're just using lofty words to say what we're saying. Exactly. Right.
No,
I mean,
we're not saying
the same thing. If you think our sales are going to increase, they will not pull. If our sales are going to
increase
because of this,
No, they will increase among certain segments of the population. They will increase.
Yeah,
just
but she'll never have that. She'll never have that overwhelming population.
Just the same as people did those. What was it? The Chick-fil-A days. where they, you know, when the Kathy guy decided to blast gays and folks showed up in en masse to say, we support Chick-fil-A, and his sales actually increased until he decided maybe this is an issue we shouldn't have involved in our marketing, and then it kind of backed off, okay? But with Paula Dean, the companies that decided to pull the plug on her actually decided not because of any measurable drop in sales, but an anticipated clouding of their brand marketing. There's a difference there. And Lynn, you understand this because you understand how much it means to go ahead and not cloud the image.
I was in marketing for 25 years, in sales and marketing for 25 years, so I understand a little bit about it as well. And marketing is the atmosphere, the environment for sales. That's all marketing does, is it creates the environment. So what you're saying is exactly what we're saying, is, you know, you can put a nuance as much as you want on it, but the point is that they didn't want to be involved with Paula Deen because they were afraid of dropping sales. Now, of course, things are going to spike. They're going to spike because you're going to have the fringe elements that support her, that go on Food Network's website, and, you know, I'm not ever supporting Food Network again, and then that dies off. But she'll never have the overwhelming popularity that she once enjoyed, and that's why those companies dropped.
One of the few times I'm actually agree with Mark, as a salesman myself and knowing about marketing, is the fact that brand means sales. You spend billions of dollars to build a brand so you can have sales. That's the whole purpose of having a brand.
That's it.
It's to generate sales. I mean, companies spend billions branding their name. And like I say, and all these companies have strong PR firms, social responsibility departments. And when they saw that, they reacted because they knew it was in anticipation of future loss of sales in the affecting of their brand, because even if they didn't lose sales initially, they knew that overall it's the damage to their brand to say, hey, we're associated with a racist. But brand means sales. There's no way you can separate brand from sales.
It's by the same token, if you think that your dollar doesn't matter, the reason the Koch brothers can do what they do is not because they're influential with people and they're just nice guys and they talk a good game. It's because they have a lot of dollars. And where those dollars come from you. They have a lot of influence because of your money. It's not for no other reason. It's not because they're pretty. It's not because they have a sharp tongue or something. It's because they have a lot of money. If you think their dollars won't influence what they do, you're mistaking yourself.
This is what I think the comparison has to be for the Koch brothers. If they were to say,
oh my God,
like, and if they were to say nigga and admit something, then the stores that carry their products would have to withdraw from carrying their products to be on the same level as Paula Deen. If not, you're going to have tons of groups coming together to boycott, which is the old thing that Daryl was saying is not going to work. You're going to have tons of people to stop buying those products and knowing what products to buy. It's going to be just like when there's an issue, like issue number 9. And then there's a campaign, you know, vote no on issue number 9. And then there's an issue number 9, they say vote 4. There's campaigns, you know, constructive, massive campaigns that have to happen before. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't try to do it. You shouldn't try to educate people what's going on. But it's going to take a long time if it ever means anything, if it's done on a small scale.
And you're right, Lynn. But where it starts at is what Mark are doing. What Mark is doing is, you know, at the grassroots level. That's how you. I mean, nothing ever just starts off big. It starts off with people like Mark, and then there's other Marks, and people might hear Mark and say, And then next thing you know, there is a big. You're right. It's going to take a massive campaign. It's not going to be because Mark said so. But you need people like Mark to get the message out, and that's how anything is ever, you know, blown into something large, you know. So I applaud Mark for, he's been pounding for a while. I applaud him for
trying to put the message out there.
Well, the only thing, too, about when you do boycotts and stuff, too, with companies as large as Georgia Pacific, you know, it's like, honestly, people don't want Georgia Pacific to go out of business. It would be catastrophic, okay? It may sound good just to say it, but you know how many people will lose those jobs if they were to go out of business, black people to also that work for the company. And it's just like, it's just one of those things where, yeah, it sounds great to say, hey, like people say, hey, we want BP to go out, shut BP, how the government take over BP? And you know what? That sounds great, but the key thing is those companies are so huge that it would be a catastrophe if those companies shut down for those people.
But here's the thing, and I agree. Yeah, that's a big, too big to fail kind of argument, and you're absolutely right. But the reality is what makes the Koch brothers so dangerous is that this is a privately held company. They're answering to no one except themselves. So they are conspiring against America. I mean, it's really that simple. They're conspiring against my America, the America that I want to see. You know, there are obviously a whole lot of folks who agree with their ideology and their political direction, but it's dangerous for me and it's dangerous for people that I know, and it's just not the America I want to see. So Georgia Pacific is never going to cease because there are other companies that are going to step up who are probably more responsible than Georgia Pacific in what they do into the community, what they do politically, you know, how they spend all those corporate billions. And I just don't want to see the Koch brothers, two individuals in one family with this much power, especially in the light of the recent Supreme Court decisions that allow for, you know, secretive manipulation of political campaigns with no repercussions, with no public accountability, with nothing other than I can set up, you know, this special, you know, I'm not sure which designation it is, 501c4 or whatever it is, and they can just pour money into this and smother democracy, basically. You know, so, you know, and I appreciate what you say there. It's the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Well, I disagree with the idea that they're too big to fail. I mean, making paper products, you know, paper towels, and I mean, this isn't the auto industry. I mean, someone else could easily fill that niche. I mean, it's not like a specialized industry like making cars, where that takes
actually
a lot of technology. If Georgia Pacific went under, there'd be a lot more. I'll tell you what, like Wonder Bread. You know, I don't see Wonder Bread on the shelves too much anymore. But what I have seen is a lot of mom and pop industries in those neighborhoods. When I travel around, I'm holding on to some. It looks like Wonder Bread, but it's something called Mary Jane, you know, bread that I got in a pilot somewhere. And it looks just like Wonder Bread, but you're going to see more, you know, localized brands in those neighborhoods pop up and fill that niche, which is actually good for America as well.
Well, no, but actually when it comes to, I don't agree with too big to fail. I mean, companies can fail. They can make a bad decision and fail. But you're talking about lumber rights, you know, to actually be able to, you know, actually tear down trees to make the paper products, the actual facilities. The fact that, you know, how much water rights they have. I mean, it's not – making paper sounds easy, but the resources that it takes.
I agree with you. I see these paper mills all the time. I'm often at these paper mills. You're right. And they are like steel mills in many ways. They are pretty large facilities. But what I'm saying is – But someone will purchase that mill and run it is what I'm saying. You know, someone local to that area perhaps, or maybe not local, but someone will purchase that mill and run it.
But Daryl had it right when he said, ideally, a lot of people's focus are not on their local, state, and influencing their federal officials, because it's like all the time spent in boycotting can actually be put, if you want change, the people, it starts with your aldermen, it starts with your state representative. They actually have more control over your life than the people in Congress, you know, and that's the key thing. So if people target them and have them influence the higher-ups, and they say, hey, you're going to lose those votes, people will act.
But I'm just saying, but it's like, it's easy. I'm not saying, if you don't like a company, if I don't like a company, I don't buy from it. So I'm not going to say, it's like, hey, if I don't like you, I'm not buying from you. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's, I think ideally, consciousness, period, not just this separate, you know, for the sake of it, consciousness, you know, just, oh, we want to be conscious right now. Consciousness has to be consistent throughout your life as it revolves around principle. And the problem is people will get on that one issue and they'll forget about everything else. They'll vote for the president, but then in the midterm elections, they won't even vote. It's consistent consciousness. If that's the issue that has to be fixed. Okay, we're going to move on to the Trayvon Martin thing. Going to play a couple of songs. It was a great topic, Mark, you know, even though you're tired of talking about it right now.
No.
It's a great topic because, you know, there's so many issues in our life that affect the way we live and are going to affect the way our children live. So, you know, everything, you know, so many things are important. 347-205-9366. We are the Cool Critics. After a couple of songs, we're going to get into the Trayvon Martin case. And, you know, this is the deal. The jury has asked, what are the details? Jay King came on and said that. The jury has asked, and I put it in the chat room before he came on, because I'm watching television also. You know, they want a clarification on instructions for manslaughter. So what we're going to get into was what Raylan Ellis and Anna were talking about in the Facebook chat about what are we going to do if he comes back not guilty, you know, and what we're going to do when the verdict comes. And Ebony Idris is on board, but she's been good and hasn't butted in. But, you know, not that that's good, but I'm just letting you know that I see you. We have a Cool Critic, so the JKN, baby.
She don't even notice me looking at her like this. I might not get a chance to see her again. I gotta say something to her. But what? I know I sound selfish, but I just can't help it. You got it together. I wanna know you better. Maybe one night we can hang out if you like. I promise to be nice. Thank you.
as we lay, and your eyes, they meet mine. I can feel your heart, and somehow it connects with mine. And you kiss me slow. The feeling that it gives me, you'll never know. Awakening, you bring life to what was dormant inside. I'm no longer afraid. No need for me to hide. So evident what it is that I feel. Touch me, let me know that this is real.
The other side is waiting, will you cross over the line? Can you give me the secret, can I give you my time? Now let the clock tick, you hear that clock tick. You feel that clock tick, never no toxic. How can I profit? You see my hands out. Wrap your arms around me, be my arm candy and stand out. Never no man down. You know I go long. You like the business when I give it, cause it's so strong. Oh no reply, I see it in your eye. Say it fresh out your mouth and make it sound fly. Like in every word, feel this in every nerve. 36 chambers, 7 chakras, and I've come to serve. I'm saying who am I? I mean I know I'm right, but who would I be to not oblige your sunrise? But when your sun falls, I catch you with open arms. You think I'm coming for the panties, but I've come to charm.
I let you inside, and two have now become one. Twin souls have aligned, Kundalini will rise, and this journey has just begun. Third eyes will open, the truth will be spoken. Our world, it's a heavenly place. Yes. When you're near, there is purpose to these moments. Together, we will own it. Fulfill my desire, take my mind higher. You're all I'll ever need.
Passion, fever in my soul. When you love me, I lose all control. And the yearning slowly creeps through me. I'm calling, baby, come to me.
Yeah. Now what you know about the other side? What you know about the writing on the wall when the shoulder sign? I can see what you're saying when you lower your eyes. Be your shoulders or thighs, you like knowing my size. How many minutes will you give me to change up your life? Help you switch up your style, put your fingers to foul. Give your bed a few miles, then do it over again. Roll right over and kiss, it's our souls that we hear.
I don't know what it is, I can't figure it out. But every time you look my way, boy, you make my heart shout. And I knew what it was in the moment we kissed. Ain't nobody in my whole life showed me passion like this. Rock me to the core, so good I can't ignore. Learn all the curse in my body, love, go ahead and explore. You give me peace of mind, ain't got shoulders to sign. Can't let you go, boy, cause I know we only get one life.
Now, that was Unique Angel, the other side, for that Bubba Jones. I've known Bubba Jones since the 70s. And that song was called A-L-O-N-E, You and Me, Alone, You and Me. So, 347-205-9366, Raylan Ellis and Anna Redding were doing their thing in the Facebook, I don't know if you call it chat, but inbox, whatever. about what's going to happen. So let's let Ebony say a few things, and then we'll get right into the Trayvon Martin ordeal. Ebony, what's up?
Oh, wow. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ebony.
How are you doing? Yeah. Oh, I've had a good week. Sorry I'm a little bit late in. I did have a show tonight. But, yeah, it's been really great weather in the UK. It's been absolutely outstanding, amazing weather. So we have been, like, 95 degrees, a heat wave going on here. So people are, like, just stripping off. You would not believe it's the UK. But, you know, so that's been our weekend. And last week we had a few really good days as well. We believe the good days are going to last for a little bit longer. So if you've not been to the UK, you missed your opportunity to catch our heat wave, which is so rare. It is so rare.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Are the people in England following the Trayvon Martin situation?
Yes, we are. I don't think we're probably as passionate about it as you guys are, because I can see from BTR it is the main conversation. I think everybody, like you guys, are just waiting for the verdict. We want to know what is going to be decided. I think it's, you know, I guess with the news in your part of the world, it's almost been overshadowed by other things that are going on. Maybe in Chicago, you've got that guy who shot up the theater, who's being tried at the moment as well. So, you know, people are a little bit like, is that the only news going on? But I understand how important it is to the family and to other people who feel that, you know, black people don't always get the justice that they should. And that, you know, it feels like he's, you know, Trayvon's on trial, although he's not here to represent himself. You know, anything can be said when you're not there to say exactly what took place. So, you know, a bit like you guys, we're looking at it and going, well, you know, it feels like almost it's been made up as it goes along. You know, people are trying to fill in the gaps where the spaces are. But, you know, the truth is, the guy's a murderer. The question is it now going to be manslaughter, or will he get done for something greater? I doubt it. I think it will be manslaughter if he doesn't walk away. I doubt he'll walk away because there's so much attention on this case. But, yeah, it's just all very sad. That's my opinion.
Okay. Raylan Ellis. Well, you would bring it up.
Well, what my thing was, I know Anna had mentioned in the chat that, you know, what's going to happen after, you know, if he's not guilty, are people going to riot? Are they going to protest? And my thing was, no matter what, we just don't need to get ignorant. Because riots historically, the west side of Chicago still hasn't recovered from the riots from the 60s. Because we have a poor history of tearing our own shit up all the time. You know, riding for the sake of riding. It's like, it's just one of those things. I don't know why people just don't educate themselves about law in general, because this case has all to do with one thing: George Zimmerman's liberty. You know, period. He's on trial. He got his day in court. He's either going to be convicted, not innocent, either guilty or not guilty. You know, the burden of proof is on the government to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt for whatever charge they come up with. And it's just that I just see this chat on Facebook about, if he gets not guilty, I'm a riot, and all this crazy stuff. And it's just to be a shame if we look at these dudes get mowed down in the streets of Sanford and get shot up trying to act a fool. I mean, it just irritates me that people are, it's almost like people are justified. Like people are, even people that wouldn't even be involved, and that's the scary part, is people would be like, it'll be okay if it is. You know, that bothers me. You know, it really bothers me.
But I think what you haven't said what you would do. What would you do if the trial doesn't go in the favor of what people feel is justice? What would you suggest they do, or what would you do?
I'm going to tell you why I'm doing absolutely nothing. Actually, what I'm doing is right now I'm flying to Chicago to start a program, after-school program for kids with some friends of mine to stop the violence there.
okay? Because George, this Zimmerman trial, Trayvon is one trial. We just had 70 people shot over the holiday weekend in Chicago. 70 shot. One damn person, one damn murder. What about the babies being hit with AK-47 rounds and stuff like that? Just random shootings going on all throughout the neighborhood, and we worried about one person. The one person, that one trial would have no net benefit to our community at all. It won't. It'd be emotional only. I'm about results, period. And what's going to bring results is us bringing back the value of our black lives that we've destroyed. 93% of victims of homicide are killed by blacks. The likelihood of being killed by a white person is almost, it's null. You know, and that's what we have to focus on, because at the heart of this trial is the value of black life. And we are the worst perpetrators of the devaluation of it.
I don't agree with that.
It's facts. We're talking about facts.
No. You're putting a label on there and you're stereotyping. I don't like that.
So y'all put it into the chat room now. This is data, raw data. We kill each other more than any other group, 93%. This is government data. This is not something I'm making up.
No, Ray.
Go to page 13. Go to page 13. This is government data.
Why do you say no, Valcine? Why do you say no?
It just seems like a stereotype, like, you know, blacks are just the only one that does this. You know what I'm saying? And basically it's just, maybe you're stationing yourself in the urban community, and you're just picking up that news right there. But if you go international, it's happening all over with all races. It's happening in India. It's happening in Japan. You know, it's not just blacks that's doing that. You know, and it's sad.
India, Japan. We talking about Americans in the United States of America. We talking about a trial.
But it's
that's
not
going
just us,
United
Ray. It's not just
but
us, and that's a prejudice. To me, that's a prejudice statement to say that. You know,
we're killing each other. More than, you know, white people are not less likely. Almost
no.
No,
baby, no.
I just sent it in a Facebook chat. Go on it. Go to page 13. Go to it. This is facts. But the point I'm getting is I don't care what white people do. I don't care what the Asian people do, because my son will most likely be killed by another young black male if he's murdered. These are facts, okay?
That's a real heavy statement, and I'll go to my grave saying no, you know, no.
Click on the link. Valcine, click on the link I just put in there. Go to page 13 and look at the data. The data doesn't lie.
But I'm not. I don't know what goes on so much if that's right or wrong for the U.S. But I know in the U.K. definitely there's a lot of black on black crime, and it's pretty high. I mean, we've been trying to fight it for the last kind of 5 to 10 years.
Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, Ebony. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's not high. But to put that stimmit out there, that it's just that flat out, the only way I can express it, that we're so fucked up and we're just killing each other. You know, I think that every race has this cause. They have this same problem. Maybe it's just, I don't even remember where did it start at. But I think that's just a prejudice statement. No.
You know, I mean.
Okay, I'm pulling up the page. What page am I supposed to go to, sir?
13.
Okay.
I mean, to think about this reasonably, it's black on black crime because blacks live with blacks.
Right, and when whites kill whites more. But when you
right.
Get,
so I mean, so that's a hollow. That's really a hollow statistic.
With over half of all homicides being black, and we only make up 13% of the population.
Well, and you know, and I know I'm going down a slippery slope with this with you, because and I applaud the fact that, you know, what your real statement is taking responsibility for yourself. And I absolutely agree. You can't blame it on anything else. But there are societal pressures based on politics, based on socioeconomic issues,
yeah,
and pressures. that affect everything that happens.
Okay, let him finish, though. Come on,
no, that's all I'm saying is that you can't just say it's just black on black crime because it's white on white crime. It's crime, period. But, you know, I guess I'll do what you're doing with starting the programs, because that really is what we need, and I applaud you for that.
What Ray is saying is very true, but the issue today is the black-on-black crime that was perpetrated by George Zimmerman against Trayvon Martin and similar crimes like that.
Right.
That's not to say that what Ray is saying isn't true. What Ray is saying is very true. But this is the issue we're having today, and this is the topic we're discussing today.
And you know what? It's really emotional. It's just a knee-jerk emotional reaction to this kid being, like Ebony said in her opening statement, tried because he's black, because he was wearing a hoodie, because other black kids did things bad in the neighborhood, you know, because an overzealous white guy, in air quotes, white guy, you know, decided that he didn't belong there. You know, so, I mean, and that's why I think it's being watched worldwide, is in that it's really kind of a microcosm of, you know, a lot of the emotions we have about race in this country. You know, this kid deserved, if he were a white kid in a hoodie, he probably wouldn't be in the situation. If it were a black man on watch, we probably wouldn't have this situation right now. So, I mean, that's what makes it racially charged. You know, we can always take it to the next degree and say, you know, it's black-on-black crime, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves and that kind of stuff. But like Aaron's saying, just down to this emotional reaction we're having to this murder and what's going to be the justice out of it. And that's the real question, you know, that's the real issue. And I got to tell everybody, I did a jig. I actually got up out in front of the TV and did a jig when I learned that they were going to consider manslaughter, because I thought that's what the okey-doke play was, is that because they did not have to let them consider manslaughter in this whole thing. So we may have some justice.
But I said manslaughter a year ago, and everybody was like, oh, no, Val. I kept saying manslaughter, and nobody was listening. Just like now, you're not listening, that it's just not about black people killing black people. I don't know how to explain that thing. I don't know how to explain it, you know, and the Holy Spirit ain't came up in here yet. I don't know how to explain it, but
yeah,
I believe I said two weeks ago
when Jay was on and we were discussing this. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I don't remember, I said, 2 weeks ago.
I believe I said that he's going to be found guilty. Everybody was saying that George Zimmerman is going to get off, and I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that he's going to be found guilty.
The other thing, too, is we had to see how the trial progressed as well. And, you know, as you saw the, you know, the evidence and the data and some of the witnesses, you know, once we actually were able to wrap our arms around it, you know, I kind of agree. I don't think it was a murder. It doesn't hold the definition of murder, the classic definition of murder, but it does for manslaughter.
Well,
right,
I think the whole point is,
if a police officer did the same thing, well, we already know something happened, don't go right, but you have no more rights than a police officer. And if a police officer wrongfully kills someone, they can be charged, and they have been charged with manslaughter.
That's true.
It doesn't matter. Well, people don't realize the definition. That's what a lot of people don't realize. I said it from the beginning, too, about manslaughter, because the fact they got into a fight pretty much pushed it to manslaughter. The fact that they even engaged in a fight was manslaughter, because if you'd have walked up to them and shot them, that's murder.
That's murder, right. Exactly.
You know, that's malice and forethought. It's all the definitions, but a lot of people don't understand criminal procedure. When I first took that class, it blew me away. The joke about that class in law was that you don't have rights till you become a criminal. That's the biggest joke, because the government is taking away your liberty. And so they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt before they put you in prison for whatever amount of time that you are guilty of those charges, not innocent.
My personal feeling is this is a murder. Now, whether you can prove it, and I think he went in there with every intention on killing him. Mm-hmm. I think he was wearing his pistol. I think he knew that he could provoke this in a certain way in which he could draw his weapon and make it look like, if anything, manslaughter. I think he set out to kill this boy.
This man pissed him the hell off. That's what he did. The Trayvon pissed him off. That's what happened. He got mad. He got his ass kicked. He got mad. It happens every day in the hood. They fight dirty.
True.
Now,
what's so funny is,
here's the difference between states. What's so funny is, in Texas, he would have a problem because of what's called provocation. In a stand your ground, what they consider a law here, you can't provoke. So it would be a totally different trial here in Texas because it's specifically about provoking people. Like, you can't just go around provoking stuff. So that's why a lot of people understand each state has its own law as relates to murder, you know, and what the definition is and all the different functionalities of the law. But ideally, I just think when it comes to what the topic that me and Anna was going back and forth on Facebook was, how do we deal with the reaction if they actually come back with a not guilty verdict? That's the thing, because you got all these people on Facebook talking about, I'm looting, I'm riding, we're going to go crazy, we're going to turn it up, all that stuff on there. And stuff like that.
Could you explain to me why you're saying not guilty? Could you explain that to the audience?
What I said was they can't come back still with not guilty.
How? What's your call?
It could be a hung jury still. You know, it's not over. You know, remember, the jury got to agree. You know, and so, like I said, it's not over. But no matter what.
I don't mind rioting. I just hate when black people, you know, don't burn down Whitmore's. You know, go
oh my
suburbs
God.
And burn down a Bed Bath & Beyond or a Starbucks or something. I got a problem with rioting and burning down your own stuff.
Now, you know we ain't got no damn Bed Bath & Beyond in the hood. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Go outside the hood. Go up the way and burn down a Starbucks.
Well, I'm kind of glad that people can still get emotional about injustice. Because you know what? The system has bought most of us off so long that we don't have a reaction anymore to injustice.
Exactly.
And I think it's great to hear that people are ready to get upset and talk about what they'll do, whether they do it or not. In the end of the day, it's their business. But, you know, I love that we still have that backbone in our community where we can say, actually, wrong is wrong, and I feel badly about it, and I'm going to do something about it. Just my feeling.
Yeah, somebody else's shit. Just somebody, some shit you ain't create, tear it up just for the sake of tearing some shit up. It's like, come on.
Well, it's a collective temper tantrum, but sometimes
it's good.
Right,
and never solved anything.
Dead.
You just tear shit up and solving anything.
Yeah. I think it just says that we're still human and we still feel for our own and we're still breathing, because I think some of us have been dead a long time, personally.
Yeah. And Ray, if you're gonna go back to, you know, some of the historical like riots of the late '60s, mid '60s, you know, early '70s, those were not our businesses that we were tearing up. Now those businesses did not return to the community, but they weren't employing us in big numbers either. Those were, you know, for the most part, those were family businesses. If you look around Cleveland today, you'll almost see the same thing. Every corner store is not owned.
And actually, Chicago, I can't speak of Cleveland, but in Chicago, that actually was one of the catalysts to a lot of the middle class black shift to the suburbs, because there was a lot of black businesses that were destroyed as a result of these riots.
Oh,
and the point I'm getting at is, it will have no net benefit to the community, not one. It won't be one job created, not one. You're going to have a bunch of niggas shot, you know, Shy did for nothing.
Well,
you know,
why
and
do
it,
they have to? Why do they have to riot? Why can't they do a silent protest? Why do they have to riot? Why are you limiting us to riot?
Riot and solve anything.
Yeah.
There's got to be more than that. There's got to be a better answer to handle it than to riot.
Well, no, I mean, if you look at history, riots have solved quite a bit of things. Quite a few.
You
have to look in a long bit of history. You can't take 6 months after the riots. You can't take 3 years after the riots. You have to take 10 years after. And policy does change because of riots. I mean, without the riots, Martin Luther King Jr. would not have been as effective because
the riots were seen
as the alternative to peaceful protest in the MLK era. I mean, it was either you followed MLK, you went to church and you followed MLK, or you went down on the corner and you followed Malcolm X, H.R.A.P. Brown's.
Okay,
what
is not going to help to tear up the little bit of shit we have since we're only 13%, which I believe is actually less than 13%.
Well, come on.
If
you're going
to ride, then you might as well tear their shit up. Don't tear our shit up.
Can I interject?
No, you said it didn't solve anything. I'm telling you that it did solve things. You have to check your history.
I'm saying is if they're going to tear it up, don't tear our shit up. We're only 13% or less.
Yeah, but
tearing
you have
up
to,
our own shit is
yeah,
not going
to
help.
You have to do it. You have to do it where you live. I mean, you know, you're not – when they had the Glenville riots, they blocked off the bridge that goes over to Brantnall because they didn't want black folks going over to Brantnall, and they were able to stop that very easily. You know, I mean, what we're going to do, take a mob up to Lyndhurst and go into Cheesecake Factory? It's not going to happen.
There you go.
Aaron, we're going to take a semi of black folks up to the Cheesecake Factory. And tear it down. You're going to drive it?
Can I interject just for a moment? Can I interject just for a moment? The problem, and I love everything that everybody is saying. Here's the problem with the black community. We don't take responsibility for each other. And we have to start doing that. Because when we are not responsible for each other, when you look at other cultures, look at the white culture, the white ethnic people, look at the Asian ethnic people, look at the Italian people, they all take responsibility for each other. We disenfranchise each other, and we find reasons to not get along. Like the brother was saying, in terms of the 93% rate, in terms of homicide, yes. That's a fact. He's absolutely right. 94% of homicides that are committed against black people are done by black people. 85% of homicides committed on white people are done by white people. So it's not white people who come and do these disingenuous things to us on this grand scale. We don't want to take accountability for each other. And
so
we have to start doing it.
So we have to just ignore when it does happen at the hands of a white person. I agree with you. We need to work on ourselves.
Thank you. We got to start taking care of each other.
But we're not doing that. But does that mean we should ignore injustice at the hands of other people?
Of course not.
Again, a white person kills a black person for whatever reason. We're just supposed to look the other way because we do it more often. I mean,
No. When a white person kills a black person, it's more of an anomaly than it is a regularity. It's not something that happens all the time.
Yeah, but Jared, do you know why?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because we don't take care of each other.
But why don't we?
If we start looking the other way, it's going to happen more and more. That's the thing.
No, we don't have to.
It happens one time is too many. Don't start that shit up. That's what we're saying.
We don't have to look the other way.
The point is, one time in our community should be enough, too. It should be enough.
That's the point I'm getting at. I agree,
and that'll be our show next week. But this week, we're talking about white people killing us.
No, but here's the thing. when we go looking back to how change was able to be invoked, okay? Matter of fact, I was just reading a book, New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, where she cited a lot of stuff. I read a lot of books on this stuff, okay? And the key thing about it is one of the reasons why blacks were able to make strides is because with its social consciousness, a lot of stuff could not be put on black people because the imagery of black people as a collective was not as bad as what some may have tried to put out there, which is why change was able to be invoked, okay? That's the key thing. People knew, if we talk about a lot of non-blacks, a trigger could not associate with some of the imagery that were put out there. But now, with the 24-hour news cycle, the majority of the imagery of us is destructive, okay? It is. And it's showing facts to people. People dead in streets, people shooting up stuff. You know, all this is the image that's out here, so how can we stand up there and say we need to hold this person accountable? If we're not holding ourselves accountable, people
exactly.
are turning deaf ears to it. People
exactly.
are turning deaf ears to it because we have no legitimacy anymore.
And what we're doing is we're perpetuating violence on ourselves, but we want other people to excuse us for it. And it doesn't work that way. You can't perpetuate violence on your own community and then ask somebody else to give you a pass. It doesn't work that way. That's retarded.
But I hear that. But I also hear that it's not right, you know, because if we were treated the same when we do something to a white person, so if it was the other way around, okay, how quick would they have been to put Trayvon down? How quick would they have been to go for murder two or whatever? You know, that's a difference, right? That's what we're talking about. It's not that we should excuse ourselves, but we also need to recognize the injustice of the imbalance between how one community is treated when they commit a crime against one and how the others are treated when it's the opposite. So if it was a trial that was the other way around, what would have been the verdict? And would you have heard anybody talking about anything other than he needs to go down and as quick as possible?
Okay, here's the thing, and it's something to deal with that, okay? And we go back historically. One of the things that was proven by a lot of our civil rights advocates in the 60s was that they purposely took certain cases, okay? They didn't deal with all the lynchings. They didn't deal with all the stuff. They took certain cases. Okay, that they knew could be pushed forward. They represent certain people and certain ideologies that they could push through because we had credibility. And the key thing is, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Ebony, we already know Trayvon would have been plea bargain out right now. He would have been in a trial.
Right.
He would have plea bargain and
right.
been down already. He would have been
right.
done. In about 4 weeks. We know this. I know this stuff. Okay? That's a fact. But the point is, the reason why it's able to be done, is because there's no value on black life.
No.
There's no value on it. And we can't bring the value up like we did before. Okay? We can't bring it up because it's being perpetuated daily. We cannot even, these numbers are unfathomable to see 100 people shot over a 10-day period. This one damn city. We're not even talking about nationwide. One damn city. I want to see riots about that. I want to see people blacking out Facebook pictures about that. I want to see action about that. I put my money where my mouth is. I'm doing something about it. But I want to see everybody else do that too. And that's the key thing. If we don't do that, then guess what? You can say whatever you want. You can wear as many hoodies and have as many feelings as you want.
Like what you're talking about doing, you know, trying to squelch black-on-black crime. Whatever you're going to do in Chicago, on TV, you're not going to get any media coverage. Now, if you encourage blacks to go riot, against black-on-black crime, I bet you'll get coverage. But then the word will spread. So I guarantee you, whatever you're going to do is not going to get coverage.
I'm not doing it to get coverage. I'm actually doing it to actually save a black life. I don't care about coverage. You know,
but that's what you need. But that's what you need.
It should be coverage of us acting ignorant, us tearing shit up, us getting mowed down in the street like dogs. That's coverage on that.
But who are you gonna help if you don't? But who are you gonna help if you don't get coverage? Who are you gonna help? Who are you gonna help?
Okay.
Because it's the media that kind of feeds you. We kind of feed into what we see in the media. We watch it on the news every night, blacks killing blacks, and we just sort of become programmed to what's supposed to happen.
But Mark, then you're kind of contradicting yourself, because if I remember at the beginning of the show, right, I was listening in, and I don't know if I heard correctly, but you can tell me if I did, but weren't you guys talking about raising consciousness, right, about stuff that, you know, like, you know, if something's wrong, like someone's done a wrong, like, you know, this lady who gave out racist views, okay, so now you're going to decide not to buy her product. Right? So you're starting somewhere. Are you going to get national coverage for that? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to impact individuals who are then going to decide to make a decision that could have a bigger impact if more and more people took part in that. So it's starting small and recognizing that small can grow because you're looking at growing the consciousness, okay? And I'm saying if we followed it in that way, if we tried with the programs that you guys are talking about, if we talked to each other more about what's going on in terms of that self-hate, I think we start to grow a consciousness. And it doesn't mean that we have to go out and riot in our thousands and have the white media show how stupid we are at doing whatever, whatever. It means that within our communities, we start to have a conversation about what's wrong in our community, in the way that we treat each other, in the way that we show love to each other, in the way that we hate each other, and we will bring down our own businesses and all the rest of it. That's where it starts, I think. I think that's much more powerful long term than going out and rioting, personally. That's my view.
Well, I still coverage.
You know, let me ask Mark
just talking to people in a grocery store, yeah, but he's also trying to bring it to this forum, and maybe it'll spread to more people and more people and more people. It'll grow. I think by the same token, I don't want to knock what Ray's. I'm not trying to knock it at all. I mean, I'm not out there doing it, so I applaud you for making effort. So I'm just saying that it's going to be hard because the media images that are out there all the time. You know, it's difficult. I mean, it's saying the do, but
it's like swimming upstream. However, it can be done. It can be done. If you're not weakened or detoured or distracted by your purpose, by your mission, what's in your heart, it can be done. It can be done. There are many things that people didn't think would happen, but because somebody had the will and the thrust and the determination to not fail, and on behalf of Raylan Ellis, I'd like to say, if you just save one, isn't that better than saving none?
Yeah.
Let me ask this question.
Let me ask this question.
If we don't respect each other, why should we expect someone of another ethnicity to respect them?
You can't have it both ways.
We don't respect each other. Once we start respecting each other, once we start looking after each other, then other people will take us seriously. The reason why black people are not taken seriously is because they don't take themselves seriously. We don't respect each other. Like the brother said, the murders in Chicago. My best friend is from Chicago. I talk to him 3 days a week. We sitting here, we talking about all these people who are getting killed in Chicago. You know what they call Chicago right now? They call Chicago Chi-Rack. That's what they call Chicago, Chi-Rack, because it's so twisted, it's so perverted, it's so torn down that we're sitting here talking about Trayvon Martin, which is a viable argument. Granted, we should be talking about it. However, We don't even talk about what we do to each other as much as we talk about what Zimmerman did to Trayvon Martin. We don't even have that passion for each other, for our children.
Let me ask you this. Where were you on this conversation before Trayvon? We went for Trayvon. We weren't talking about that before. We weren't talking. You know, we're talking about Trayvon Martin today because it's in the news. And if people want to riot, that's because they're trying to take advantage of the media coverage that's been given to this case.
Exactly.
They're trying to maximize as much as they can out of this,
right,
this coverage. You're not going to riot on some case that didn't get coverage like the most of this opportunity. What you're saying about, you know, you're going to do, Ray, I mean, when we weren't talking about Trayvon, where were you? Did you bring this topic up when we weren't talking about Trayvon?
Yes, I've been doing this my whole life. I'm 52 years old. I dedicate my life to children, to black kids.
Well, everything. I have 5,000 hours, okay, mentoring, all right? Half unpaid, half paid, okay? I do this because I'm going to tell you why. I do it for a specific reason. I do it because I care about the kids. But also, when you look at the data, man, if we don't do something, like I say,
how many shows have we done? Why haven't you
performed?
We've been doing this for two years, man. Where were you before?
I mentioned this before.
Look, and I'm not knocking you. Don't get me wrong.
I mentioned this before. Every time we talk about an issue, if you run the tape, I always go back to us. I don't give a damn about that other stuff. If you run the tape, I always revert back to what are we doing for us? What about our businesses? What about us? Lynn, I mean, am I right?
Don't throw it back on me. So don't go there, Aaron. I know what the hell I'm talking about. It's not about being on a show. It's about what you do in your community. And I agree with what the brother is saying. I'm agreeing with the brother saying. It's about what you do in your community. It's not about getting on no radio talk show and being a benevolent individual and promoting the black cause. No, it's what you do in your neighborhood.
But my whole point is today we're talking about Trayvon. That's
right.
What we're talking about. We're talking about similar cases. They're trying to throw in other things to cloud the issue of what we're talking about today. That's my point.
Ain't nobody clouding the issue. The issue's not clouding.
The issue is with Trayvon. It's not a clouded issue if you make a statement and what someone else says about that statement has something to do with, you know, it's just like this. I'll give you a good example. JonBenet Ramsey is not the only girl that was kidnapped and murdered. There's a lot of things like that, you know. But what about the people in Ohio? What about the people in San Francisco? What about the people in Utah? All of the issues that are happening, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening. But collectively, we have to, like Ender Knowledge says, respect each other in order for it to make any kind of sense. And that's going to be difficult because everybody has their own view. Everybody has their own platform. Everybody is leaving from the center, moving out in all directions. They're not going all the same way. So it's going to be difficult to get that. But if you start, like if Ray starts, it's no telling. One of the guys that he's talking to right now may come up and be some hellified politician or some cure of a medicine because some kind of desire was put within him to do. And to communicate. So it doesn't downgrade Trayvon Martin. You know, I used to ask this question here. Here's a guy who stabbed somebody, and they're getting a ton of play, but Timothy McVeigh killed 167 people. Shit! You know,
he's saying, what's so important about Trayvon?
My thing is this.
He's not just implying it.
Let me rebut this. Here's the thing. My thing is, let's not let just media coverage get us to take our eye off the ball, and that's the problem. We allow everything because the media puts stuff out, and we get so excited about all this other stuff, and we forget about the stuff that really matters that's affecting us every day. At the end of the day, whether shouldn't they go to jail or not, he's just one motherfucker going to jail, okay? But when you turn on the TV tomorrow, WGN, because it's nationwide, see how many other black people got shot.
Yeah, but okay. Ray, I understand that, and you could always say that. But this is a radio show that talks about current events.
Absolutely.
Let me speak. I don't think Ray is saying we shouldn't talk about Trayvon Martin. I don't think he's saying that. He's just plugging in and saying, hey, what about some of these other people who have been killed? You know, and that's the whole key. Because it's a talk show, we're free to talk about whatever we want to talk about. You know, hey, the topic is hot balloons. Okay, I bought a hot balloon, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, what about steaks? I buy steaks. Oh, this is not the steak show. This is the hot balloon show. But you're talking about buying. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. There's nobody wrong. And if you remember when I first started this show, nobody is wrong when it comes to their opinion. Nobody is wrong if they want to inject a, like, hey, Trayvon Martin got murdered. Yes, that's a sad thing. He's not saying let's not talk about it. Let's not forget the other people.
I'm not saying that either. All I'm saying is that we get our jumping off point from current news, from hot topics, from emotional topics. So it can meander, and it usually does, and that's what makes great programming. And, you know, we exchange a lot of ideas, and we rebut each other, and we do all that good stuff. But, you know, we can't ignore Trayvon Martin just because the 100 kids got shot in Chicago. I mean, you know.
But 100 people?
Well, and I'm just rebutting him as well.
Should be news. That's news.
I think all them Republicans think alike. Because we just went through this with Reese the other day. I think all Republicans think alike.
I don't think so. You know, I think Republicans think alike, but I don't think Ray Ellis is positioned on this.
I'm just bullshitting, but I ain't bullshitting for real.
Okay, but anyway, hey, have you guys heard the O.J. song, you know, listen to the clock on the wall? You know what that means.
All right, make sure
man,
you come back
cold.
Next week.
That was cold, man.
No bullshit. Bye-bye. It's the Cool Critic. Hey, Dixon, good job. Bye, Anna.
Bye, Val.
Good job, N2 came in and said something. Bye, Cece. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.